Emily Hagan. I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, welcome, everybody. We're back. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, Chuck and Julie Show. True straight up, even if it gets us banned occasionally. Good friends at
YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and beyond. Yeah, why not explain? We're back full-time again now. The folks at BBS were doing some moving, making some major upgrades to their new world headquarters. So that's why they weren't able to do things on Zoom. But everything is back to normal now. I'm not sure if we're up on YouTube yet or not. I'm not really clear on when they say 2 weeks, what their 2 weeks when that starts. But at any rate, we will put it up on YouTube for as long as they let us, when they let us. But otherwise, I want to encourage you guys, you can always get to the show at chuckandjulie.com because they're all posted on from Rumble and from everybody else, too. And we're looking at all, as President Trump is, various options. Maybe we'll start our own, and then Donald Trump can join us.
Billion-dollar empire.
That's right, right here from our basement. All kinds of fun stuff to talk about today. Kamala Harris, what a coincidence, Chuck. She's going to the border.
It's safe. The border is safe.
The border finally
is safe. Kamala's going to go down there and look at it, and then all be cured.
Everyone raise your hand if you think that she's going to actually do anything. No, she's not. She's just going to say, I beat Trump, ha, 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 ha. And, you know, that's going to be about the extent of it.
Well, but she doesn't want to be connected with the border. She just wanted to be connected with the general search for the reasons people move. Like climate change. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. Now we're banned from YouTube.
In the meantime, though,
I want to let folks know, and thank you to Mark Paul for filling in for us on Monday. Yeah. Rev has, I think, just two more golf tournaments, and he tied. So those are a lot of fun, and we like to go to those. Plus, since he's only 10, he can't drive. So I've been spending most of my...
You can drive a golf ball, though.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. But you, Chuck, have been traveling the state. You and your merry group of men and women, grassroots, rabble-rousers.
Rousers we have. And I see Ben has joined our program, so if he wants to add some comments...
Ben, yeah, feel free to unmute yourself and pop on in. But tell him, where have you been?
Well, we went... this weekend, we're going to Northwest Colorado, Sedgwick, and all those counties. Last week, we went to Southwest Colorado. We went to Silverton. We went to Creed. We went to Lake City. We went to Gunnison. We went to Durango and everywhere points in between, meeting with chairmen and meeting with grassroots people. And it's amazing. And it's an amazing process. We spoke in front of at least a couple women's groups. And man, are those women mad.
And what are they mad about?
Well, they're mad just about everything, but certainly they're mad about the schools and the school boards and critical race theory and just the whole left agenda that's being forced down on them. They feel they have no say in Colorado, and they don't have any say in the Republican Party.
And look at your guys yesterday, too, because if YouTube doesn't ban us, the Colorado Republican Party will. One of the things I think that's interesting, I know that you now have school boards flat out saying, no more public comment. If you parents aren't going to say what we want, we're not going to let you comment publicly.
I will have you arrested if you try.
But Ben, you are once again driving the getaway car. Ben Nicholas joining us. What's your take on it, too? Would you want to add to what Chuck was saying?
Well, first of all, he's going to the northeast part of the state, not the northwest. They already did that.
That's why you're the driver of the getaway car, not Chuck. Well,
that's right. Actually, Chuck and Anil and Peg Cage are heading out there to the northeast quadrant up that I-76 corridor. And hopefully, you know, we're going to be, or they'll be talking to another group of people out there in those six counties. My take on the Southwest tour that we just got back from, it was positive all along. I think that many of the people, as Chuck said, mostly the women, are upset. You know, they have mentioned, I probably heard more women tell me that we need to grow a set of balls than any man. I mean, I've heard that consistently throughout the state. The women are upset, and they're upset because of the lack of leadership of the Republican Party. It's not necessarily the lack of the school board races, but they are energized because of this critical race theory, and they are absolutely targeting their school board races out there. And right. So there's a lot of activity that's taking place out there. And we had several people that are notable people that's told us that they do support our efforts in closing the primary. Right. So it was all encouraging. And yesterday at the grassroots meeting, maybe Chuck can talk a little bit about that at the the state party's headquarters. But yeah, I'm in full favor of what's going on here. We're making progress. We're informing people. We're letting them know that we can do this. We're not idiots. We can conduct our own elections internally, and we can count our own ballots rather than relying upon a Secretary of State who's a Democrat. And, you know, and certainly.
Well, we can't. Don't even think about auditing.
Audit.
Yeah, don't even.
You can no longer audit an election, so it can be stolen anytime you like.
Right.
Because it can't be audited. The way the establishment is putting it, well, then you won't ever have a primary again, which is so pathetic and so sad. The Republican Party, if it takes it in back from the state, it can do exactly what Virginia did this last time. It took it back from the state. It held its own, what it called, unassembled convention, where everybody went to 39. You registered to be a quote-unquote delegate, and there are 53,000 who registered in Virginia to be delegate. And all those people could go to any voting place among the 39 places in Virginia and vote whoever they wanted to, and that was going to be the nominee of the party. Well, we can do the exact same thing, or whatever else we want to do. But the establishment just goes, well, you have to do it by assembly. That means that, you know, you won't get to vote on who gets to be the ultimate nominee. You got to be a little brighter than the average Democrat, which is very hard for Republicans.
And here's the thing, and Charlene is saying, well, Chuck and Heidi, his beautiful Colorado, ever meet. Yeah. I don't know. You better hope not, Charlene. Mm-hmm. You know, so folks who may be not clear on what we're talking about, here's where it kind of all ties in with action today. So as we all know, the Democrats tried to ram through, H.R. 1 that was going to totally change all the elections in the country. Couldn't get that done. And Biden's administration today, Jen Psaki, said, well, now we're going to start focusing our efforts on states. Colorado, guys, is the blueprint. Blueprint Colorado. It's the Colorado model. And one of the, I guess, points in that model is to have these open primaries. And so for folks who haven't followed, what happens in the open primary, you can be unaffiliated. You can vote in whatever primary you want. You can only just vote in one, right? But what's happened in that is the Democrats have started playing in that the precincts that are Republican that they know they can't win. Districts. So what do? They flood those districts with Democrat money, which, by the way, Republican consultants are happy to take. That's a big part of the problem. But at any rate, they flood it with Democrat money.
Romney Republican.
Right. They get a Democrat light in
and
there.
And this last legislature,
that's exactly
all
what they
the
did.
Conservatives were thrown, or not all, but a significant number were thrown out, and there will be seen no conservatives left, which will make, you know, I guess the establishment happy because they've always wanted Colorado to be basically a Democrat.
And this is, it works so well here. I mean, they're not worried that it didn't pass on a national level. They're like, fine, let's just do what we did in Colorado. And I'm telling people, it's coming to a state near you if you're not in Colorado. And anything, just from now on, Republicans, we need to just do this. If the Democrats are for it, we just need to be against it. We need to pretend like it's the Trump, right? If Trump said the sky was blue, they said, no, it's not. So if Democrats say open primaries are good, we need to say, no, they're not, because they're not. But number one, the Democrats do not have our best interest at heart, and they're trying to take over the country now state by state. And if we're not careful, it's going to work, I think, Ben, don't you?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's why we should rebel and say you're not going to be counting our votes on who we select to represent us. So this open primary stuff has got to cease. We've got to close it. We'll bring it internally within the Republican Party. We'll create our own voting system. And we can do that easily through our bylaws. And so we just need to amend them. And Julie, I think maybe you're the one who needs to go on this next roadshow.
And say,
you did good.
All right, hey Ben, we'll let you let you go back off. Thank you for chatting. Thank you for driving the getaway car. Because again, you would all be right now in Durango if Chuck were
Northwest Colorado.
That's right. One of the things though too, and that we have some comments, are Sandra's right. The other thing they want to do, they want to flood cities and school councils with Democrats. Mm-hmm. And then Mr. Arlene says the Republican establishment hopes that we never notice that you've got a bunch of rhinos who are basically voting for the for bipartisanship things.
Well, the thing that they have, they call the new LEAP Act, Learning Enrichment and After Schools, whatever it's called.
It's essentially a cottage industry for tutors, is
cottage, left-wing cottage.
So they can do critical race theory after school, in case the kids somehow slept
and
through
so
it.
So overwhelmingly, the Republicans voted against it in the House and the Senate, although the usual establishments, Liston and Gardner and a few others, are all for it, Kevin Priola. And so the Republican Party is now with Kristi Burton Brown saying she's all for it. You know, we can't put our own initiatives on. We have to adopt, we have to help push through Democratic initiatives.
Well, and here's the thing. This is, if I were, and I'm going to give free advice now to Republican, to the Republican Party, I think there are like three things that they need to talk about. And Chuck, you've always said this of campaigns, right? You need three, you need just a few bullet points. Number one, they need to be talking about schools, this critical race theory stuff.
Choice.
They need to be talking about school choice. I mean, parents are mad right now. Parents sat through a year worth of school teachers vacation in Puerto Rico because they were too scared to go back. And all of a sudden, you know, the parents saw what was going on in the schools. I was talking to one mom. She was so mad. And this is months they've been back at school since January. She was still mad. She said the teacher for her kid, she had a fifth grader, just like we have with Rev, or a fourth grader rather, just like Rev. And she said the teacher would come on in the morning and say something to the effect of that she was too stressed to actually teach herself. So she would put up like a little screen on the computer of what the homework assignments were and then tell the parents they had to help the kids and then sign off. And that was it. That was it. And that mom is mad. We can, and this mom, I think, is probably not a Republican, but you could reach out to her and say, not under a Republican watch, not going to happen again. We're not going to tell your kids.
Well, that's the second one.
The critical race theory too, though, I think. I think
school choice is critical race theory. It's school boards, the teachers don't want to teach. It's the whole process. And that ends once you have choice.
Exactly. The other thing that I think they need to talk about is inflation. You know, we had David Bieri from the University of Virginia Tech University and saying that maybe the inflation we're seeing right now could be a good thing. I don't think it's going to go away. I think we are screwed, basically.
But your local officials don't necessarily have a huge effect on that. Well, they do have a huge effect on its economy in general. And the economy in general in Colorado is being killed by Polis and the Democrats.
Right.
He's gotten rid of the oil and gas industry. He's trying to get rid of the ranching industry.
Well, wait till you see what happens with the gasoline and the road tax, right?
Right,
I mean, it's
right.
going to be, and I think, you know, again, just keep it vague, not keep it vague, but keep it broad and say, okay, under Donald Trump, prices were good. The economy was booming. Gas was the lowest it had been ever. Unemployment across the board was the lowest it had ever been. Everything now is horrible. You can't, you know, gas is at like $3.25 or something like that. Gas prices go up. Lumber prices go up. My daughter, who works with a lot of reality TV shows and stuff, says they're having to cancel shows because people are saying the deck that I could have built last summer for $3,000 is now literally going to cost me $12,000, right? House prices are going up, but sales are now starting to decline. So I think you just hammer home. Are you better off now under the Biden administration?
And you also have to understand your real estate taxes after the Supreme Court ruling a few days ago and the various changes have been adopted is going to be astronomically high. Your real estate taxes are going to be astronomical.
Yeah, and the thing is, keep in mind too, and I don't think you need to get into this if you're in a general conversation, but it is all about redistributing the wealth, right? They want to go ahead and they want to pay us all to stay home, and they're going to give us just a little bit of money, and their people are going to be making a ton of money. Again, keep in mind who made money.
Yeah, the truly rich are always good. I mean, you just found that Zuckerberg and all the rest pay no taxes.
Right.
There's a shock. Gee, there you go.
So yeah,
we're
going to
really sock the rich.
When
yeah,
Elizabeth
sure you
Lawrence
are.
Is,
you're
yeah.
going to sock the middle class.
Right. You're going to screw us. And then the other thing, so schools and critical
economy,
race theory,
economy.
Inflation, and then crime. I would hammer yes, home right. on crime. Nobody is better off crime-wise. You've got homeless camps all over the place. I was reading in the Denver Post again today, and this was a non-political story, but it was about a restaurant that was closing. And it said because the nature of the neighborhood has changed and it's no longer a good way to do business or a good place to do business. I'm like, golly, I wonder where they are. They were in the ballpark neighborhood. They were by Coors Field. I'm like, well, I mean, if anyone's been down there lately, you know what we're talking about there. We have doing this stuff with this Denver media. We'll get into that later because we're going to be on this TV channel in Denver here coming up, I think next month. But we were there doing some training and said, hey, is there a good place to go to lunch? And this is at like 31st and Arapaho. And they said, oh, you don't want to go outside here. I mean, they're like, if you want somebody,
bring your lunch in.
They're like, you can have the security guard walk you to your car, like right outside. They're like, it's just not really safe around here. So that's just there. We've got the homeless camps all over. You've got New York City, which is a disaster.
And we'll talk a little bit later, but the mayoral election held last night, although we won't know the results for weeks
because of the
late voting. But that was a very interesting how the vote.
Well, and I think that the bottom line, I mean, you can just see it around the world. Crime rate is up. And the answer is really simple. When you are arresting people who are attending a Trump rally in Washington, D.C. and keeping them in jail, when you're arresting parents at school board meetings because they're speaking out during the public comment section, you're arresting those people and keeping them in jail. But if you're a criminal, even a repeat criminal, you get to go free. No one cares, right? So, and how long do you think it takes the repeat criminals to figure that out? And not only are they releasing people under this no bail policy and a personal recognizance bond, which is a pinky swear to come back, not only are they releasing them the first time, they're releasing them the second time, the third time, the fourth time, the fifth time. I mean, they know. So you're letting the criminals go free. You're not prosecuting them. You're telling people, by the way, if you happen to be a minority, it's not your fault. It's a white person's fault anyway. I mean, it's outrageous what's going on with crime.
Well, I think your 3 points are great, although you have to take inflation and make it economy.
Make it economy. Okay, I'll write this down because I'm going to send this to Donald Trump. Well, and again, and that's look at
send
what
it to whatever pathetic people we put up against Poland.
And that's look at what happened in Arvada. And how weird the police have to be about it. For folks who don't know, there was a couple days ago, a police officer, Gordon Beasley, was shot and killed in Arvada. The police chief said in a news conference that they believe the officer was set up, basically ambushed, that the bad guy, Ronald Trakey, apparently set things up so the cops would be called, and then when the cops were called, shot and killed the officer. Well, the police were referencing what they were calling at the time a Samaritan, and they're being kind of weird about it. They were just simply saying there was a Samaritan, there was a civilian who saved lives, prevented a lot more people from being killed.
You do have to stand it. Samaritan refers to a group in Israel that replaced. It's a good Samaritan.
He was just calling it. All right, I got that. All right, thank you, Chuck, for that clarification. I'll call the Arvada police chief and say you're Arvada
call him a
chief.
Good Samaritan because simply a Samaritan is a racial group in northern.
Sorry, we don't want to go there. Now we're going to get banned from YouTube again.
Okay.
But at any rate, then the Channel 7, I think, actually did a good job on this. They found some eyewitnesses who said that this guy, John Hurley, was basically at a store, heard the gunshots, told everybody in the store, you guys stay here. He was armed, carrying, had a concealed carry. I'm sure he was carrying legally, and went and basically confronted the gunman and shot and killed the gunman. And he himself was shot and killed. Not entirely clear who shot and killed him. Mm. But the police, I think, did a good job getting out in front of this, saying that this guy saved lives. But I mean, that's the thing. It's if you're a person in the United States right now, really in any place, in any kind of suburban city, when we've talked about this for a while, given what's going on with the police departments now and how they're getting sued and fired and challenged for doing their job, basically, I think that to rely on the police getting there in time to help you is not a particularly good solution. And I think you hammer that home.
Police have to depend upon a good Samaritan getting there.
Right, who can't be sued. So, you know, back to Sandra, some of the comments, critical race theory is now being called transformative social emotional learning. Yikes. You're right. They constantly change the name. Charlene says the Rhino's Answers is still the ballot box, hoping we forget the stolen election. True elections are the crux of our republic. Unless that issue is rectified, everything else is sound and fury. I absolutely agree with that. Ben is pointing out, yeah, property tax is going to be ratcheted up over the next 19 years. Leo,
that's only just one ratchet.
Right.
Wait to the fact that we got rid of the, the Gallagher Amendment.
Oh, yeah.
Property taxes will bankrupt people out of their house.
And Leo noting he used to live two blocks from Five Points. It sounds like it's gone full circle. And Leo, you know, here's the thing. Just like Sandra says, Denver's crime is back. It's not just Five Points. It's all over the place. The crime is up. The murders are up. Everything is up. And it's all going up at a time when we're defunding the police, when we're telling the police, okay, we're going to send social workers out with you, when we're telling the police, like those police in Portland. Is it Portland or Seattle? Portland, where the riot police all retired. Yeah, okay. Portland, yeah. So it's like you go out there, you're a riot police officer. Mm-hmm. It's a riot. The reason you're out there in the first place. And I think Mark talked about that.
Yeah, and they're arresting you.
And then all of a sudden you get arrested and charged. Right. Exactly. I mean, the whole political atmosphere.
Well,
I would hammer those three things.
Well, those three things I think are very good, Julie. And I think that's a winning campaign for anybody, assuming you had a free and fair election. You will not have a free and fair election after in Colorado, and therefore you have to take the primaries or whatever you call that process for the nomination of Bowie back, or they'll rig that too. They rig everything.
Yeah.
And we just quickly get people who just want to go along with whatever the Democrats do.
Well, because they think that there's this vague and uninformed and completely idiotic middle that we have to appeal to. And I think what you are seeing out there is people, and we're seeing these people at school board meetings, people are mad. People are mad about gas prices. People are mad about crime. People are mad about what's going on in the schools. And I think the people out there are not necessarily looking at it, although I think they should, as Democrat issues or Democrat problems. But I think you just hammer at home and say, here's our solution. Here's what we're going to do. People overwhelmingly are in favor of voter ID, having to show an ID. People get that, right? People overwhelmingly are in favor of having the public comment during the public comment section, right? I mean, these are basic things.
Well, therefore, like we were in Silverton, right. And we're going to, I'm trying to get the
Silverton, chair, Colorado.
Silverton, Colorado, the mayor wouldn't have the
Pledge of Allegiance.
And he was talking about a week before it hit the national news. And it's just incredible. But as long as we can have a free and fair election, which the Democrats know that that's going to destroy them. And so
right.
Doing,
that's why they don't want it.
That's
right.
That's why they want it.
They don't care. So while that people know, no guests today because we haven't been up here for so long. We missed everybody. 888-627-6008 if you want to call in. 888-627-6008. I'm going to give the Zoom number out. If people ever are listening would like to join us on Zoom, the Zoom number, you just go to zoom.us. It's 209-576-423. That's the Zoom meeting number, 209-576-423. Or you can always go to chuckandjulie.com. You can get the archives there, but also there's a link that'll send you right to the BBS place, and they'll tell you everything else.
BlackRock, which is a massive investment firm, is buying up single-family homes and renting them out. We will own nothing and be happy.
That's right, Charlene. And if you do, if you're not happy, they're going to force you to listen to what that Tucker Carlson was calling authorized information. This is another scary thing. It should scare everybody that YouTube is bothering, frankly, and has algorithms that are bothering to target shows like the Chuck and Julie show. They're targeting medical shows. They're targeting UFO shows. They're targeting anything.
I thought we were UFO
shows. Oh, yeah, really. They're targeting anything that is not one of their authorized information sources. And of course, you know, that's the mainstream media or just their own little 23-year-old fact checkers, right? Yeah. Who don't check. And let's not let ourselves get distracted about whether it's misinformation or not misinformation. What it is unauthorized information. They want to keep information away from you that they don't want you to hear. That they don't want you to ask questions about this. They don't want you to be talking about whether the mayor of Silverton is letting the Pledge of Allegiance be told or not. They don't want people to know about that. They don't want people to know what's going on in schools. They just want to say, here's your $600. Oh, we're going to give you another child tax credit too. Oh, that'll take care of the gas tax or the gasoline prices. I mean, they just want you to be, like you said, Charlene, they want you to sit down and shut up and be happy. I mean, it is the Matrix, really. And then they're using all of their technology. I know I sound like a conspiracy theory nut, but it's true, I think. They use all of this. Meanwhile, keep in mind, you are the product that's being sold. They're banning us, but we're still the product. And they gather all of this information on what you read, how long you look at it, what you look like on your little ring thing out your door, what your neighbors are doing, what you're doing, who's coming to your door, all this kind of nonsense. They're gathering information on it. They're creating artificial intelligence. I mean, and what that is that's the Matrix. I mean, I was thinking about that the other day. That's the Matrix. They're building your fat, happy little world. They're building one for Chuck. They're building one for me. Don't take the blue pill or the red pill. I always get confused.
Well, the blue pill is for happiness. The red pill is reality. I'm going blue.
Yeah. But I mean, that's what's going on here. And they don't want anyone to upend that. They're happy to do business with China because China just flat out says, censor this, censor that. And that, you know.
Put them in a slave clan for the Uyghurs.
Yeah. And if you complain about that, then they just ban you or they disappear you. Or you're censored from the beginning. So we have to continue to stand up for that. And that's why, like for us, you can go listen to us on Rumble. We're on Podbean. I'm not sure how long all of that's going to occur. And this is just a side note. And then I want to get into the FBI insurrection stuff, too, if you're not worried enough. But I think what's going to happen is it's going to make, I mean, maybe... To be honest, I'm not so hopeful anymore that Trump is setting up his own network. Are you? I mean, it's...
Well, I just saw Casper apparently is free. That's what American First Republicans. So can we see if we can get Casper on?
Is he here?
Well, that's what American First Republicans
to everybody. Casper. Oh, my meeting. Oh, there you go.
Here's
Casper. Well, Casper, I guess, you know, you've been involved, you know, training candidates, talking to people. I guess let me get you to kind of weigh in on just the state of things. I've been saying that I think Republicans need to hammer home the problems in education, problems in the economy, the crime wave, and just hammer home that, you know, the Democrats are destroying our country in very basic ways. But what are people telling you?
Yeah. Can you guys hear me okay?
Mm-hmm.
There is tons of low-hanging fruit right now that Republicans are ignoring for some strange reason. And you mentioned some of them already, you know, but the attacks that are still going on around our nation in different cities, the even the holiday Juneteenth and stuff, you know, I have a whole discussion about that because that's a Republican holiday, not a Democrat holiday.
Yes. Okay.
Those folks were saved by Republicans that rioted in, not Democrats. Okay. They, you know, but Republicans kind of dismissed it as, you know, just, you know, why are we doing it? Well, the Democrats never let a crisis go to waste, and we should be learning from that tactic and never letting a issue go to waste. And Juneteenth is a Republican holiday. So thank you, Joe Biden, for creating a Republican holiday that
How we celebrate things by giving federal workers another day off. That's how we celebrate. And in a lot of ways, that makes sense. Every day they don't work, we're better off. We should declare.
Friday's a holiday, federal holiday.
Well, just a holiday all the time. Let's just get rid of that
every
government.
Every day.
Yeah, get rid of
every
it.
Day is a holiday.
So they all don't, they're not, you know, they're doing well, and they can go all down to Puerto Rico with the teachers, and we'll be all set.
Well, every day should be a holiday for sure.
That's right. So I wanted to talk to you, Casper. You were down at the Western Conservative Summit, which if you were, unless you were there, you would have never known really what was going on except for some straw poll about Ron DeSantis, which I still have questions about. But why don't you kind of fill us in? I mean, a lot going on there. And I know there was obviously peaceful protesters showing up again that you talked to, as you always do. But fill us in.
Yeah. So in the past... And I know this personally because you guys have been with me as we've been downtown and, you know, but those are so confrontational.
Right.
There's no way to have a conversation with people that are just evil and just want to do you harm.
Right.
But sometimes it's possible to have a conversation, and I'm not trying to have the conversation to change any of their minds. I'm trying trying to see, I'm trying to find out what's really going on. So I went out and talked to some of the protesters, and some of them were mean and evil and hateful and telling me to F off. And especially once they realized who I was, you know, they were giving me the finger and everything else. But there were one or two that came over and had a conversation, what I would call a conversation. The lady I talked to, she had a purple lipstick and ear piercings and everything. And she is a self-recognized anarchist. She okay. wants to burn the entire system down. So she's hanging out with Antifa. And there's a difference between Antifa and anarchists, even though their goal is to just cause chaos and destruction. So I said, okay, great. Let's go with that. Let's say we burn the system down.
Right.
Then what replaces it? Because something will replace it. And in the meantime, if you don't have the resources, like the people in inner city don't,
right.
You're screwed. Right. You're literally going to probably die because they're trying to take out the system that is literally keeping the inner city alive, you know, keeping them alive with benefits and all these other things. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that if you remove that system from the inner city, most of the people in the inner city would die because they're so dependent on the government. What I was trying to get across to this young lady is that by her doing what she's doing, if what she wants to happen, she will literally be killing a lot of people in the inner city.
What did she say?
She said, well, not necessarily. I said, necessarily.
Although, you know, I guess we'll give her a little bit of credit for at least being willing to talk. As you said, we've been down there and they don't want to talk. I mean,
did it get? Were there fights breaking out? I can't quite determine.
How ugly was it?
Well, there were skirmishes, but the biggest thing was the blocking of the streets down there. And for the life of me, I can't figure out, look, if you want to protest, and I told them, I said, look, if you want to protest, protest. You want to call me names, knock yourself out. But if you get into my space, now we got a problem with that, right?
Right.
And when they're blocking the streets, that is against the law. So they should be dealt with if they block the streets. If they want to protest, fine. But they start blocking the streets and start threatening citizens, that's when all bets are off. But the Denver police have orders, if you will, to let them just run wild, and that's what they're doing.
Right. Unless, of course, you happen to be there to support Trump, right? If you're there to support Trump, they hold you without bail forever, and the FBI becomes your best friend, and you don't even know that. They've recruited his wife to testify against him, and you don't even know that. So, well, what about just a kind of a couple final questions for you? How was the Western Conservative Summit? It was
limited to 500 people.
Yeah. What was attitude there? I mean, sometimes I worry about in Colorado that sometimes the establishment, anti-Make America Great people get in there. Did that happen or was it?
So, you know, Jeff always does a great job, and it's hard to operate in the environment that we're in right now and trying to have a large gathering. Right. So, as you guys know, it was a limited gathering. It was online and in person. They had some great guest speakers. But I still haven't heard, okay, what are we going to do? You know, what is the solution? We need to go on the offense. And I really didn't hear any offensive type strategies coming out of the summit. I've heard a lot of, you know, this is what's going on. You know, Victor David Hansen, he just ran down a list of all the problems. Well, guys, I know what the problem is. I can see it. I live it.
Right.
I know what the problem is. What are we going to do to solve the problem? And that's what I'm really not hearing. And it's not just a summit. I don't want to put that, that burden on the summit. I don't hear it anywhere. I hear, you know, we're going to do some training. You know, we're going to do this and that. Okay, great. But what are we going to do past that? What's the next step after we get some folks trained and get them in the field? What's the game plan to win?
Right. Right. Well, yeah, like I said, I think, you know, there's those three topics that I mentioned there alone. And as you said, there's some low hanging fruit that the Republicans, you know, and I guess I just worry that the Uniparty controls so much. And, you know, they just want, you know, again, we'll hear the Republicans banging their chests, thumping their chests about big tech, and they're not going to do a thing. Yeah. You know, they're not going to do anything to them.
Well, you know, tomorrow you and I are in the executive committee of the State Central Committee. And I think they're going to try to push through that we endorse LEAP, which is a huge Democratic boondoggle. You tax marijuana, and then you have these after-school programs for poor
whites. Right, right.
To teach critical race theory. To
teach critical race theory instead of mathematics or whatever. And I have a feeling, you know, Christie's going to force through a vote, a recommendation to the SEC that we
because it sounds endorse. Nice.
Yeah, well, it sounds nice, but it's awful. And I'm thinking, what do you think about this? I think about starting a Freedom Caucus of the Executive Committee.
I don't want a caucus within a caucus.
Oh, yeah, you guys voted for this, right? Yeah. I don't want to be associated with it. I go, no. I'm on the Freedom Caucus portion of the Executive Committee. So you're my first recruit to the Freedom Caucus. Are you?
Look, by the way. We like the look, you know.
I told Natalie that, Natalie Minton, that, you know, she called and asked me about it. I am not in favor in general of any new tax. I don't care because they never use the money for what they say they're going to use it for anyway. Right. So as a default, my answer is.
Wait, they censor you.
They have to prove to me from that. You know, they got to work it back. Yeah. They got to work it back to a yes by proving to me that they're actually going to do what they say they're going to do. In the beginning,
who's going to control the money?
So my answer is,
are Republicans going to control the money?
That's my point. Okay, so
Democrats. Who voted overwhelmingly in the state Senate and the state House for it? Democrats.
Yeah.
What else do you have to know? I mean, what else do you have to know that Democrats passed it in the House and Senate? And I know you got to join the Freedom Caucus of the executive because we'll be charmed with it.
I will gladly be the inaugural member.
Your prize is in the mail. Well, you know, let me clarify. Let me just clarify for folks, because again, nothing happens, guys, by accident. Nothing. There's no like some Democrat legislator going, I know, I have a good idea. No, the Democrats, they have Lawfare. They have all these organizations that are feeding this stuff to them. And so if it's happening here in Colorado, it's happening in other places.
Yes,
what this is it would be a new bureaucracy, a new tax that would essentially go to basically after school tutoring programs. That's the gist of it. Now, my first comment on that is, hey, guys,
that's what they say.
Exactly. There's no guarantee. But my first thing is, I know, why don't we just teach kids in school? Maybe if our kids go to school and you have competent
have
teachers
to have
and
you're after school tutoring.
Right. I mean, that's just, I mean,
no. What's the whole point of school?
Right. Why don't we just fix? Because if our school system, the main school system, is so screwed up, what on earth makes us think, even if they do what they say they're going to do, that it's going to work any better? So number one, that's why I'm like, no. And number two, you're absolutely right. They're like, there'd be all this new money coming in, going to the kids. And yet, who monitors it?
It's going to go into the general fund. So if they want to convince me, here's what they need to do. Create that with it. With the money they have right now, start that program. And then 6 months later, come back and say, look, it's working. We just need a little bit more money because we see now that it's working. Now I'll look at it. But if they just say they want more money because they're going to do this awesome program, then obviously it's going to go into the general fund.
Well, how many decades of billions of dollars flowing to Head Start has made one iota difference?
Yeah,
none. We have tens of hundreds of billions in Head Start. It does no good. It just enriches whatever.
There is a way to spend the money correctly. You know,
They'll control it.
My point is without government intervention and stuff. I was a part of a program called Project Purpose.
Hey, Casper, you're glitching a little bit.
We were going in to train. Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, you're okay now. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So I was a part of a program called Project Purpose. We were going into the inner cities teaching youth how to get a job, keep a job, and excel at that job or start a business. those kind of things work, but we don't need the government for that. We can do that on our own.
Right.
Now,
right.
It helps if we have some resources, and sometimes the government can provide grants and things like that for those type of programs.
Well, they could go back to maybe some technical training and trade training, things like that. But again, I think this is the kind of thing the Republicans, I agree with Chuck, they need to, and I know Jan Cook has been putting out emails saying, hey, this is a bad idea. You've got parents annoyed at schools the way they are now. And so the Republicans need to say, no, that's fixed. The schools the way they are now. Let's get things, education back on track. Let's get our kids learning. Right. I know, here's a concept. Let's just get our kids in school. How about that for a starter? And then once that's all up and running and that's perfect and everybody is happy with the way that's going, now we can start adding on to it. But that's what Republicans need to be saying rather than just like, I know, that's thrown into this because it's for the kids. And this is from Charlene. This is brilliant. Charlene says, Chuck, you need to call yourself the winning caucus. Then when Christy Burton Brown addresses you, she'll have to say the winning caucus wishes to speak. That's perfect, Charlene. all right. Well, Casper, like thank you for coming on. Thank you for being the inaugural member of Chuck's Freedom Winning Caucus.
Winning Freedom Caucus. That's what it'll be, the Winning Freedom Caucus.
I hope I'm not the only member.
You may well be, but you can stand proud. You can stand proud. It's better to be a one member group than a serf to the Uniparty.
You could just say Chuck made you do it. So
I've been there.
All right, Casper.
I've been there. Trust me.
Yes, you have. All right, sir. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time and all the work that you do.
All right, take care, guys. See you.
Okay. All right. I wanted to talk, and thank you to Casper there. One of the other things I wanted to talk about, and again,
well, I want to talk about the mayor election in New York.
Okay. Well, I wanted to talk about the FBI insurrection thing.
Well, let's talk about the mayor election and the FBI insurrection.
You'll take up all the time.
No, I won't. Yes, I don't have that much to say about it. But they had an election in New York for mayor. De Blasio's term limited out. Thank God, the worst mayor in the history of New York. Almost all the candidates ran against de Blasio, and there were four groups, basically. There was the AOC group that backed Maya Wiley, a activist, lawyer, and far lefty, favorite of all the Progressive Socialist Workers Party and Working Families Party and everyone else. Then there was a New York Times Manhattanite one, backing up a woman named Garcia, and she was kind of appropriately bland and not much to say, but ran on quote-unquote competence to run, because she'd been part of the bureaucracy for 40 years, which I'm not sure makes you competent to run anything. There's Andrew Yang, who's
dropped out now.
Well, he has dropped out. Well, after he only got 11.9, he didn't have to voluntarily drop out.
He lost. Hey, Charlene's got her hand up, so.
Oh, okay, we'll call on her next. And then they had a guy named Eric Adams. Now, Eric Adams described himself as a conservative Republican back in the 1990s, although that's not his political leanings now. But he's a former police captain, a Bronx borough president, and he ran on law and order. And he appears to have won. He had by about 30% down to, I think, next one was 21%, which is my...
You can call Rudy Giuliani and go back to those old days.
But that, I don't think in the history of ranked voting has that big a lead been dissolved, but you never know, because maybe...
they've got their system down now.
So it's really encouraging. It'd be interesting. I mean, he was backed by, of course, big money interests, like everyone, but he didn't have the same coterie of white liberals around him that always make you...
Ah, so we'll keep an eye on that and see what that happens. Mm-hmm. All right, well, go. We see Charlene. Charlene, I see you have up. Go ahead, unmute yourself and weigh in on all of this.
Okay, well, can you hear me?
We can.
Okay, great. All right, well, you know, I'm just thinking about politics is local, and I think about what Ron DeSantis is doing in Florida. He's just on the offense constantly, and that's the way to win. And I know it's a different political climate out here, and I don't know if we should just give up and move there or not. But, you know, I'm thinking about the place to get the change is in the GOP. And right now, there is an opportunity to call Jenna Griswold's bluff on the audit. I mean, she's just practically begging us to audit the results. She's coming out from a defensive position saying, you're not going to audit us. We're great. And, it just seems like the perfect opportunity for Colorado GOP to take the offense. You know, I don't know that she can refuse an audit. I mean, she's acting like she can. But, you know, I just think that's, you know, winning ground that we can win on, or we can make some noise about anyway. And, right. you know, try to turn this place into a Florida or a Texas or a Nebraska. I mean, I think they're scared to death. They're going to see how many Republicans are in Colorado, how many voted for Trump, and how far the results are from the truth of what's going on in Colorado. And that's why they're so afraid of it. And what do you think of that, Chuck? Is it just a lost cause, or is it something we could rally around?
Well, you'd have to change, you know, when in Denver, they have what are called harvesting mules that just go around apartment houses, pick up ballots that have been thrown away, fill them out, fill them in, put names in. And you have just plain ballot harvesting going to old age homes, dementia units, everything else. You're never going to beat that by fair elections. I mean,
but I think she's asking, what about getting the Republican Party to go for an audit, to push for an audit?
Yeah, right, yeah.
Because I know the Republican legislators tried to do that, right?
Right,
and
they did.
The legislators tried to do that, and the Democrats voted it down, which to me is outrageous.
Well, but maybe one Republican, now,
Charlene,
one Republican county could say, we're going to do an audit.
Right, and Charlene.
And have Janet Griswold try to stop them.
Yeah, that's
so it. So it has to be the legislature that calls for it? I mean, is that what happened?
No.
You could have a county. You could see if a county says we want to audit our election, and you get a Republican county saying we want to audit our election, and then have Janet Griswold try to prevent it.
Yeah, that is a good idea, Sean, because you're absolutely right about, and that's what I was kind of trying to get at too, going on the offensive. There are a lot of things out there that we could go on, be on the offense about, that people would support, I think. And I think this audit thing, to me, that's why they're trying to push so hard, and that's why they censor it. I mean, we'll probably get banned, and I'm not kidding, because we're talking about this, right? But they don't want anyone talking about this, and you got to wonder why. What's wrong with an audit? You would think, if we really do have the gold standard, that they would say, let's do an audit. We'll prove it to you, right?
Yeah.
Why is Jenna Griswold, well, and I think there's some timing here. Some legislators went down to Arizona to see what they're doing there. Yeah. And then boom, you know, a couple of days later, she comes out and says, I won't cooperate. It's against the law. She has, number one, she has no authority to do that. But I think you're right. Go ahead and challenge it.
You know, no matter how many Republicans we recruit to the Republican Party, if the ballot box is insecure, then it's the rest of it. That's the crux. What our republic is based on is the ballot box. And if we can't guarantee that, then the rest of this is just, we're just talking, you know.
Right.
And so, you know, it just seems like that would be the number one thing we would address, and just go for it and make some noise and add our name to the other states that are requesting audits. That's just, you know, my hope that GOP will do that. So I don't know if you can bring that up, Chuck, at the committee meeting or not.
Oh, yeah.
At the winning caucus. That can be your another issue.
At the winning caucus. Well, as part of your winning caucus strategy, can you please bring that up?
Well, if nothing else, you know, you could maybe couch it, Charlene, in terms of, you know, don't make it necessarily about the audit, although I think you should, but just say, hey, look, she has no authority to do that. We can't let Governor Polis keep us into, we're still in an emergency state, you know, state of emergency, even though the pandemic's over and everything's open. We can't have the Secretary of State, all these elected Democrat officials just making things up and taking power. We have to just say, you can't do that. Even if I don't wonder about the audit, even if I think it's going to be perfectly fine, I still want to say to Jenna Griswold, you can't tell me I can't audit it. I you know, you don't have authority to do that.
Yeah, and if fair elections get shoved under the rug, then the rest of it's just sound and fury. I mean, we're just talking to each other, you know. I just hope that can be addressed. But thank you very much for your
listening. Yeah. Thank anybody else too, if you want to, just, you can either raise your hand or just go ahead and unmute yourself and turn your camera on.
Give us a call. What's that phone number, Julie?
888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. Wanted to briefly talk about then we were off. There was so much stuff going on while we were off. I was like, wanted to like call everybody and say, hey, here's what do you think about this? So the Revolver.news had an interesting article I guess it was an investigative piece where the guy went into, they had gone through out of all the hundreds and dozens of people arrested on January 6th, they went through all of the affidavits and they noticed that some of the worst players, so to speak, were identified only as person one or person two. And they weren't not only not identified, but they also weren't charged with anything. And this person speculated, I think, or maybe that's even too light of a word. This person came to the conclusion that those were probably FBI informants in one way, shape, or form. If not
or
actual
FBI agents.
Or FBI agents. And then this guy, everybody slammed this person, including some conservative media organizations
like
Red State. And I just wanted to kind of set the record straight from what I have covered. I have read hundreds of affidavits, federal and local affidavits. And I can tell you in my experience, when they don't identify somebody, that's because it's an informant. It's an actual FBI agent or it's an informant. That's part of their deal with being an informant. And not only that, it's probably a paid informant. Informants get paid, by the way, sometimes a great deal of money. The Red State guy was trying to say, oh, well, these are just people who agreed to testify. In my experience, reading, again, hundreds of affidavits, that they do sometimes allow somebody to testify against the other person, and therefore they don't charge that person. But that person almost always, in my experience, is identified. Mm-hmm. They're not called person one or person two. Not only that, they don't do that this early in the thing. What they do is typically they charge everybody. Right. And then they all play, let's make a deal. And a lot of times, absolutely, somebody will testify against the other. But they rarely let the worst person be the one who gets off. So I think this guy came to the absolute correct conclusion. And that is that whole thing. It was flooded, number one, with Antifa people. We already know that. We've seen that. But I also think that there were a lot of FBI informants. We're hearing about how the FBI was knocking on, the Oath Keepers, the Proud Boys, trying to recruit from within their circles, trying to join them. And if you think that they wouldn't do that, because we don't have a lot of time here, but just Chuck and I, just two people randomly in the country, have had experience, personal experience, where that's exactly what they did, or worse. We covered years ago the story of Scott Lee Kimball, serial killer in Colorado. And basically, he was a serial killer while he was an FBI informant. And the FBI knew.
And they hid it.
And they hid it. And they didn't care. He killed four women. They finally were forced to come clean about the whole thing when some Lafayette police started looking at it.
And then they started taking credit for it. Glenn Beanwell pointed out, the vast majority of Islamic terrorists in the United States is the FBI going online, getting some weak-willed, weak-minded poor kid, pumping them up, telling them about a plot, giving them weapons, and then claiming they broke it. If you doubt that, back in the Ku Klux Klan days, remember the freedom fighters and all these Ku Klux Klaners would come and beat them and so forth. The leading person was an FBI informant. And they tried to extradite him, and the FBI wouldn't let him. And this is what the FBI has always done. And so the idea that the FBI was running the quote-unquote insurrection, I don't doubt it for a second. I don't doubt it for a second. And that you'd find it that a crazy theory shows that you're crazy.
Well, exactly. Like I said, in that one case alone, the FBI was allowing a serial killer to go around serial killing people.
Continuing to go, oh, no,
he passed a lot of tests. Yeah, they didn't care. They didn't care. And the supervisor didn't care. The case agent didn't care. Then there was another case where there was a guy that this goes back, and I won't get into all the details, but the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle was covering a story involving some land that these rug merchant company wanted to buy from the city of Glendale. And
no, they own the land.
They wanted to build a massive.
They wanted all the zoning to be waived, and so they could build a massive apartment. The FBI decided that was something that they should support, and so they sent FBI agents pretending that they were just journalists.
Right.
Charles Johnson, the infamous, who was also part of the Bundy Ranch one, where he pretended he was a photojournalist doing a documentary to get people to incriminate themselves on tape.
He was pretending to be a private investigator. He was going around to people that the newspaper was interviewing and questioning them and threatening them. And then when people thought he was a nut job because he didn't have a license, they arrested him. They called George Brock and they're like, oh, he's an FBI agent. You have to let him go. We're like, and then they're doing surveillance out. They're taking pictures of us, taking pictures, doing a story on it. I mean, it was insane. That was your FBI.
Your FBI.
And we can get into more of that.
But we can't because we're out of time.
Don't for a second think the FBI would never do that. Not our FBI, no. Exactly. It was an orchestrated insurrection. Kudos to Matt Gaetz and Tucker Carlson for exposing. I think absolutely. And Sandy, you're right. They were following us and Peter. It was kind of a crazy time. Hey, thank you to everybody. We missed you all. We're so glad to be back. Check out chuckandjulie.com for everything. Thank you to the great guys at BBS. Mm-hmm. And we will see everybody on Party Friday.
Yeehaw!
Bye, guys.
All right. Party Friday.
See you later.